My friends, we're going to talk about a sermon and a truth today that's really overwhelming. It's on video for you to watch. I hope you'll go and listen to every word of it, and I hope you'll send me a comment at the end. Now, this, of course, is being put on Wednesday, but on Saturday, Open Bible Dialogue, a live one-hour broadcast, you know the time, I hope, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to discuss this subject. I mean, right into the heart of it. You don't want to miss it. You may have good questions. I want to answer them. You may have debate. I want to hear it. I want to hear your opinion. Israel is very important to the Bible. You cannot separate the Bible from Israel, and you cannot separate Israel from the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you got to believe in Israel, Jerusalem, the Jews. If you don't believe in Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jews, you really don't believe the Bible. It's just that important. Now, don't miss Saturday. That's very important. Now, we're going to go to the sanctuary, and I'm going to open my heart to you, and you're going to hear the Word of God. Will you listen to every word right now? Jesus' name. Here we go.
Will ever lose its power. Not even a shadow. Take your Bible. Turn to Romans to begin tonight, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 2. Thank you, Brother Jim, for being here with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 11 and verse 2. I want to preach a little bit tonight about this thought. God has not cast away Israel. God has not cast away Israel. I'm going to take you back to Ezekiel in a few minutes. But I want to give a little, I want to put it in a format that these young people even can take it home with them. Listen to me, young people. I want to tell you something. You get this word set in your heart. You get all the truths of this Bible in their totality and their perfection set in your mind. The devil can't shake you. The devil can't shake you. The church is not built on a shout. The church is built on the word. The shout comes follow. And I pray that we'll get more dedicated to just praising God with everything in us. I love a big shout. I'm kindly in the need of a big shout. You ever felt like that? I need an outpouring of God that will just shake me to my eye teeth rattle, if that's possible. I mean, I want God to move in my life and saturate me. And I want this word to so fill me and saturate me. I mean, I want this word to saturate my very soul and being. And I know I just feel that something grand is about to, give us more opportunity than ever to bless people, to be a blessing. I had a preacher yesterday from Arkansas to call me. He'd heard the radio program, and he needed encouragement going through a tough time. Well, that's the church world going through a tough time. We must be a blessing to each other. Now let's listen. The book of Romans 11:2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Were you not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? God had to answer Elijah in his depression, in his dark moment when he was thinking that he was all God had left. You know, people get the feeling of that sometimes, that they're all God has left. And that is a pitiful state to be in. I'm telling you one thing, God will correct you when you get there, because it isn't biblical to be there. You're just one of, God's got them all over this globe. God's got them in places all through Africa. God's got them all through the Ukraine, up where Putin is threatening. God's got them in the Arab world among people that know and love God and want to follow him. God's got them across America. You know, God's just got people everywhere. He really has. And so God is saying to Elijah, wait a minute, Elijah. Wait a minute. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 1,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise works is no more works. What then? Israel has not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blinded. Now stop there so you can be seated, but I'm going to read a number of scriptures tonight. You may be seated. I'm going to read a number of scriptures tonight and do my best to put in context the present place of Israel. The present place of Israel. And what is now in the making. What is on the agenda. What is about to happen. Now, let me tell you this before I start, that Israel has two dark nights yet to experience. Two dark nights yet to experience. I know you're saying they're already going through dark nights. I agree. But these nights are darker than the ones they're going through now. They have before them the war of Gog and Magog. This is a war in which we will talk about tonight that is intent, that is overwhelming. And the nation of Israel will see the hand of God in magnificent, magnificent action. They will see the hand of God in such perfect and beautiful action that they shall never forget it. And the Bible says the nations of the earth will never forget it. I'm here to tell you that God is going to be known as God. I'm here to tell you that God is still on his throne. I'm up here to tell you tonight, you don't have to think that God is dead, because God ain't dead. God has his agenda. It is on target. Not one thing is late. Not one thing is early. But God is going to do what God has said he's going to do. You can just trust in it, and you can depend on it, and you better depend on it, because your joy and your happiness is independent upon it. Oh, what a day. So Israel is going to face this dark night of Gog and Magog when God comes to their deliverance. But you study Ezekiel 38 and 39, and there's no mention of their soul. There's no mention of a spiritual deliverance in that particular night. That dark night will end in their safety in their homeland, but not in their salvation of their soul. But then the next dark night is that of the 7-year tribulation period, called the time of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble. I was in Israel some years ago, and Brother Barry Kilman and I were together, and we went to one of the kibbutz where the Jewish people have a farm community. We were able to go into the home of some Jewish people and sit down with them and talk about their future. And it was quite interesting and enjoyable as we talked. And I said to them, what is the future of your people? What is the future of Israel? Do you have anything yet on the agenda? No, they said, yes, we do. Our prophets have warned us that we've got some dark things coming. We got some dark nights yet to endure. And they understood from the Old Testament prophets that they did have some dark things to happen. And they talked a bit about them. They didn't understand them as the New Testament describes them, and as we have understanding of them, but they knew they were in the making. But that second one, during the 7-year tribulation period, that's not what we're going to study tonight, but that is when they come to spiritual deliverance. That's when Israel will be saved. And I thought you ought to think about that. So go with me, if you would please. Well, it's right there in that text. Let's just turn over in the same chapter, Romans chapter 11 and verse 26. Romans chapter 11 and verse 26. Now this has not been fulfilled. This has not happened. Here we have words from Apostle Paul, and he was a Jew, and he loved the Jews. And he said himself, I could wish that I was accursed for my people, the Jews. I would be willing to be cut off and to be lost if all Israel could be saved. But he knew the future, and he knew what was in the making, and so he knew that would not happen. And yet he spoke about the future. So verse 26 of Romans 11, and so all Israel shall be saved. And so, all Israel shall be saved. Now listen how. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. They still are. Unless you get a Jew that's been converted to Christ, called the completed Jew, someplace called what do they call them? I can't say it all of a sudden, but the terminology we all know, they are converted Jews. There are many of them that are saved. But yet, even the converted Jew today has such a bondage under things of the Old Testament that I worry in talking with them. I worry in dealing with them. We had a man here for our camp meeting that one of you brought, and he was so precious, but he was so caught up in Judaism and going back and worshiping in the same methods of the Old Testament until it was like a bondage to him. And I tried to talk a minute about it and found out that it was a waste of time unless there was a lot of time to be involved. And so I just, treated him kind and nice and loved him. But he's caught up in that. I mean, the shofar and all the things that they're involved in, just all Old Testament material. And they're still there. But many of them have come to faith in Christ. But yet the future is what's so exciting. Because all Israel shall be saved, and there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is the covenant that he said, I will make with them when I take away their sins. Oh, the Bible tells us this picture, and it's beautiful. They shall look upon this deliverer who comes to them after the 7-year tribulation period. At the end of the dark period, when the Antichrist will be established in their temple in the middle of that 7 years. And it's going to be a grand moment. It's going to be a grand hour at the end of those 7 years when suddenly Jesus is in Jerusalem. This time he's not there to die on a cross. He's there to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of the whole universe. And when he shows up in Jerusalem after the great victory up in Megiddo, where the Antichrist is going to be destroyed, and where the Antichrist and the false prophet is going to be cast into the lake of fire, then Jesus comes to Jerusalem. And when the Jews see him, they are amazed. They look at him. Nail prints in his hands. Sword print on his side, thorn prints around his brow, and they look at him, and this is the words the prophet says they will say. Where did you get these marks? Where did you get these imprints on your flesh? Where did you get these marks in your hands? And he says, I got it in the house of my friends. He called them that crucified him his friends. Hallelujah. And so Israel is going to be saved. That very much is in the future, but that is in the making. Oh, I'm telling you, the future is bright with hope and hallelujahs. Did you know that? Folks, you're living in the grandest period of church history. There is no way you could have ever lived in a time more exciting than this time we are living in. You say, don't feel so excited to me. It don't to me sometime either. But I still know what the Bible said. And so I don't go by what I feel. You better not go by what you feel. The greatest hour is out there. It's coming. Now, you see very clearly here that Israel is going to be saved. That's the future. And these two dark things that's about to happen, they must happen and they will happen. Now, let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. And let's take a minute to look at now, right now. Israel is in their homeland. They went back to their homeland in 1948. I was 12 years of age. I can actually say that for 62 years, Brother Jim, I have lived with Israel in the arena, on the horizon. I've lived and watched one thing after the other occur concerning Israel. I can well remember in 1952 when I got saved. Israel had been in their homeland only 4 years. everybody in the church that believe the fundamentalist church, the New Testament church, the King James church, the church, and this was Baptists and Presbyterians and almost the whole church world, they were looking at Israel in their homeland after nearly 2,000 years. They had been moved across the world, driven out of one nation after the other. The Germans, the Nazis, had just slaughtered 6 million of them with a slaughter that would make your blood boil, that would tear the heart out of you. I mean, it was a day in which so much was happening with Israel that everybody knew that Jesus was going to come before the week was over. I remember thinking that Jesus is coming before the week's over. Jesus is coming before the year's over. I remember going to pastoring in 1955. 1955 or 56, Mother and I started pastoring. Terry was about a year old when we started pastoring, and I remember talking and preaching, and everybody's looking for Jesus to come. It was an exciting time. That was one of the most exciting times I remember in church history. Now, there's only a handful of you here that were serving the Lord back at that day, but I tell you one thing, people preaching prophecy, our prophecy conferences every year at the churches, everybody was excited. The Lord's coming, we're leaving, the Lord's coming, we're leaving. And here we are over 50 years later, and the darkness has come and descended. The Antichrist is somewhere on the horizon. I think he's somewhere alive right now. I think he's in training somewhere in one of the nations of the world. I think he's ready. He's ready to step on stage. He's ready to step on stage, and everything's being set. And here's the scripture that shows us right where we are now. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Read the news. Read what is being said by the nations of the earth. Read the riots that are being involved with anger against Jews, with anger against anything that has to do with Israel. In anger against what they are doing right now to protect themselves in the battle with the Muslim radicals in Gaza. You know, it's a dark day. And there's good people among those Palestinians. There's some of them that love Jesus. And every time I pray for Israel and Jerusalem, I pray for the Palestinian Christians. You ought to remember that. Don't just pray for the Jewish people as much as we love them. They are enemies for the gospel, but they're beloved for the Father. They still don't want your Jesus, and they still don't want your King James Bible, and they still don't want the things that has to do with the saving merits of Jesus Christ as a whole, I'm talking about. And yet they are beloved of the Father, and we pray for them. The Bible said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Every time you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you remember you're praying for God's name and word to be fulfilled. You're praying for what God's doing to be fulfilled. You're praying for God to finish this whole thing until that triumphant hour, hallelujah, when the King comes and we leave and 7 years of tribulation is over, and then he comes to reign on this earth. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me, would you? Praise him and magnify him. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. You got to look at that now. All that burden themselves with it. These are the people that hate Jerusalem, that hate the Jew, that they are determined. Iran just made the statement a few days ago, it's time to eliminate the Jews from the land of Palestine. That's not the exact words, that's just a synoptic of what he said. It's time to get rid of them. Iran is on the verge of a nuclear bomb, and I would not be a least surprised if they already have it. They are secretly doing things that nobody can discover the real secret of. And the people talk about going in there and bombing all of that stuff out of there and just reducing Iran to the dark ages. It may be a little war, and it may be some cleansing. It may be the elimination of some things. But I know what this Bible says, and we're going to be there in a minute. Iran is Persia, and they're going to be up there with Russia, and they're going to march down against Jerusalem. Their darkness is down the road. I don't know how far, but it's there. And God's going to do it just like the Bible said he was going to do it. And nothing's going to miss one thing of what God said was going to happen. Hallelujah. How many believe the word of God? Raise your hand, will you? You really believe the word of God. You believe God said it just like he meant it, and meant it just like he said it, and he's going to do it just like he meant and he said. I mean, it's just, that's how it is. That's just how it is. And so everybody that burdens himself with Jerusalem is being cut in pieces. Not always personally, sometimes politically. I mean, look at the people in America that hate Obama for one reason, above maybe many others, maybe, you know, whatever. And that is because he really doesn't appear to be a friend to Israel. He really doesn't appear. Somebody says he is, somebody says he isn't. I'm not here to debate either side of it. I'm just here to tell you that anybody that burdens themselves with Jerusalem and anybody who doesn't come down on the right side is playing with fire. They're playing with fire. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Every horse of the people with blindness. All of that's coming. All of that's in the making. I'm going to tell you something. You hear all these prophecy preachers, and they've all got a little different take on something. And let me tell you why they've all got a little different take. It's because none of us know it all. None of us have it all in perfect order. None of us really can grasp everything this Bible says about what's about to happen. And so I'm not up here to preach as a man that knows it all. I'm up here to tell you, you're living in a marvelous hour. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Keep your eyes on Israel. Keep your eyes on what's going on over there. Keep your mind open to the soon appearing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because all of this just tells us the King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. Any moment now, the King is coming. Now, you can understand, you can see that what's happening right now in Israel is they're still in unbelief, except for that small number of those who've turned to Jesus Christ. You understand that they're talking about that temple. They're talking about, almost every day, you see something new on the internet about the temple. The temple being built. It's being built here. It's being built there. It's going to be built here. It's about time to build the temple. You hear different people saying different things. Well, I'm here to tell you, that temple is going to be built. But it can't be built until some things happen that have got to happen. And I believe those are the things that we're looking for right now. You see, Gog and Magog, to my understanding, has to appear before the rapture, or at least at the moment of the rapture, right before, maybe right after. Somebody says to me, will the rapture come before the war of Gog and Magog, or after the war of Gog and Magog? I say one or the other. Now, just a simple answer, one or the other, because nobody really knows. But I can tell you one thing, they're so tied together, it's like that, you know. Oh, the rapture any moment, the war of Gog and Magog any moment. We don't exactly know, but we know it's all in the making. Now, you understand the things I've said. Number one, I said that the Jews are still important to God, and he's not cast away Israel. And God's got his eyes on Jerusalem, and God's got his eyes on the Jewish people. Number two, right now, Jerusalem is in the midst of a worldwide kind of hatred. There is a growing anti-Semitism all over the world. Almost all of Europe is becoming anti-Israel. All across America, you cut on the internet, you're going to find articles that brag Israel and pray for Israel, and articles that condemn Israel and call them the worst of the names that you could possibly find. It's just, that's the hour. You understand, that's the hour. Well, something is developing in this hour, and we see really kind of the signs of it up in the Ukraine. You see, Ukraine is part of what's going to march against Israel. somehow, as I understand it, the Ukraine has got to be united with Russia. It just appears that's got to happen. Well, you know that's in the making right now. America and some of the European nations are trying their best to stop Putin from taking over the Ukraine. But I think it's probably something that can't be stopped. It may be for a while. You know, everything happens, you know, in gradual moments and gradual events. But all of that northern part up there, different names in the book of Ezekiel will identify them. You've got Turkey over to the east. You got Germany over to the west, and you got all of those nations in there. And there's maybe 40 of them that will be part of this war. And you hear this and you hear that. And you say, how in the world will it ever happen? God is going to take care of that. God's going to put a hook in their jaw. You know, God can put a hook in your jaw and you can join up with your enemies. That's what happens when God puts a hook in your jaw. You just do what God has determined for you to do. And there's no resisting it. You just do what God has determined. Well, let's go to Ezekiel and try to read a few things here. And I won't preach too awfully long. All right, the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 is where it all begins. Ezekiel 38, we'll go to verse 2. I'm going to read several verses here over the next little bit as we bring this to understand that this war of Gog and Magog is so close. Now, let me say something here. Syria, do you realize that we have now a situation with Russia almost occupying Syria? Did you know that? Russia almost occupying Syria. You know what Syria is? Listen to me. Syria is the gathering ground of the war of Gog and Magog. The geographical position of Syria is the place where that northern army gathers its different segments and marches and gets ready to march on Israel. When all of this was developing a few months ago, I listened and I watched and I said, that's hard to believe. Our president has literally given Putin of Russia almost a green light to go in there and be the savior of that situation that had developed in Syria. Well, he wasn't a savior in the least. He was just one to go in there and make his foundation and lay his roots and get himself settled in there. And I'm here to tell you, I've been reading all the Syrian coastlines where Russian soldiers and Russian ships are there in numerous numbers, and the things that are developing is so clear that war of Gog and Magog has got they've got their battle place. They've got their gathering ground. They've got their foundation laid, and all it would take now is for them to say the word, come and help us. And the armies of the Arab world, the armies of those involved in these coalitions would be right there. They could be there in a month, maybe 2 weeks, ready to march. You say, when will it happen? I don't know. You know, God, I don't think God's going to tell somebody the day it starts. But we'll see it when it starts. We really will. All right, let's go. Ezekiel 38. Let me read a bit. Verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshek and Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshek and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with butlers and shields, all of them handling swords. Notice, Persia. Just mark through the word Persia and put Iran. Exactly the same. Exactly the same nation. Iran is their new name. Ethiopia. You read about Ethiopia the last 2 or 3 years. You know what's going on there. Libya. You remember the things that's happened in Libya and the overrunning of that country by the radical Muslims. You know something about all of that? The recent event where our ambassador was killed and two others. All of that happened in Libya, you see, with them. All of them with Scheel and Butler. Goma, Germany. And all his bands in the house of Togomar, Turkey, of the North Quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Now you could go on and read these scriptures, and you see other nations named, and you could know every one of those names is in place. Every one of those names is in place. Not a one of them has got to develop a government because they have a government. Not one of them has got to develop an army because they have an army. Not one of them has got to get ready. All they can do is make the decision. Turkey has been big in the news the last few days because of their resistance against Israel. Their support of Hamas in Gaza. I mean, all of these names. You just watch the news. You can watch the news and think sometime you're reading the Bible. Because how perfectly orderly all of this is getting ready for the march of this great army of Gog and Magog, led by Russia. Gog and Magog is unquestionably Russia. I've chased it all the way back to original names. I've traced it the best there is possible to trace it, and there is no question. We have a study notebook on the war of Gog and Magog, and for our people here in the church, you can have a free copy of it, and that notebook will show you one article after another that your pastor has developed and written that shows clearly without a question that we are right at the moment now that war could happen anytime. Amen. Just getting ready. Don't try to push it and don't try to stop it. Just stay ready for it. Is that good enough? Most preachers, you know, they get off on a tangent. And they go trying to set dates and times. I don't have any dates to set tonight except any moment. That's my date, any moment. Can you say any moment? Any moment. God's going to take care of it. It's going to happen as God determines, as God exacts it. Hallelujah. It's just in his big, wonderful hand. Goma. See, there you go. All his bands. The house of... Did you know that Germany has never really paid for killing 6 million Jews and 6 million Christians? Or you say they were defeated. Yeah, but they were defeated. But they were allowed to continue as a nation. They was allowed to continue in their economic world and very, very much successful. I mean, they've never paid for it. It won't be long. Their payday is coming. God may wait a while to exact his judgment moment, but God will always enact his judgment moment. I know people that have been vicious and evil for years. I know people that hate you, hate me, hate this church. I know people that have all kinds of bitterness and feelings and emotions. And you say, when are they going to be judged? Well, that's not your business. That's God's business. You leave it in God's hands. You just wait on God. You just do right. You don't let none of it get in your heart. You don't let none of it get in your heart. If somebody treats you bad, you just love them back. You just keep on being prayerful for them. God's got it all in hand. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, I can hardly stand up here and preach without just wanting to praise him and shout because God's got it all in hand. I am so proud I'm living in this hour. I wouldn't want to live in no other hour in human history. Well, let's move on here. Look at some other things that he says in this great prophecy. Go over to verse 18. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. God said, my fury shall come up in my face. Now listen to me. You better understand this. We know Israel has sins. We know that some of the biggest pornographers in the world are Jewish people. They really are. I mean, if you want to study and find some really rough characters, some mean people, some money-hungry people. Go right through the Jewish world. You'll find some of that. But that has nothing to do with God's promise and God's plans. They'll still be loved for the Father's sake. Many of them are going to die and pay for their sins just like anybody else is going to pay for their sins. All of them that continue in sin. But the nation. I'm talking about the nation. I'm talking about the people that's not part of that evil world. God's got a plan, and you better remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and to believe what God's plan is. And don't let what you see over here that's wicked and over there that's wicked deter you from believing what God said in His book. And when that war, when that bunch of armies began to gather up there in Syria and over in Lebanon and probably down in Jordan and maybe a little bit north of there, and they began to get ready to march, you begin to see that, and you can see it. I mean, it's so evident. The news, do you know the Bible? I mean, the news of America is very anti-Bible. When they detect that something will excite us Bible-believing fundamentalists, they don't even report it. You got to go to the internet to find it. I can find it often. Some of the most exciting things about Israel, some things that God's doing. I just read a story yesterday, a little bit on the news. They were a group of soldiers down in Gaza, and they had to take care of a situation and try to take out a site where there was a bunch of weapons and rockets being fired onto Israel, and they planned it, and they were going to start at a certain point of the night when it was dark, and somehow they got deterred, and they didn't get to march until the sun was coming up. And one of the soldiers was praying. Suddenly a cloud of fog gathered over top of that group of people that were going to take care of this situation. And that fog lingered on them for the time it took them to take out that enemy place and to clean out those radicals that were firing missiles and doing the damage they were doing. The fog continued until they finished their whole operation and they got back to their quarters to enter into safety, and the fog dissipated and disappeared. And so the big article is how this fog came down at exactly the right moment and protected a group of believing soldiers as they took care of their part of the operation, trying to remove the enemy weapons and the enemy from their places of rocket launching. You see, God's still on the throne. And God's still doing things like that. And I don't know about you. Would you raise up your hand way high with me? I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Your hand up in the air. I want you to hear me. See, glory. God's fixing to do some of those things for His children. God's fixing to do some of those things for fundamental Bible-believing Christians. I believe it's time for angels to be involved and active in the ministry of the kingdom of God. We live in the day of the latter rain. Do you hear me? It's time for God to move. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know what you're feeling, but I know what I'm feeling. Somebody shout hallelujah with me, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Dylan, it won't be long, brother. It won't be long, church. You listen to me. When the judgments of God are in this earth, the people are going to learn righteousness. And they'll be coming in these doors wanting to get somebody that knows how to pray. And you just make sure you know how to pray, okay? Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, and bless His holy and wonderful name. Well, there's so much to read here. The Bible, let me read another verse or two. Remember 18, I'll go back to it. That's Ezekiel 38 and 18. And it shall come to pass as the time when God shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, and in my jealousy, and in the fire of my wrath, have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Now let's just try to put this in a picture. Here's the land of Israel. Very small, probably a third the size of the state of North Carolina. That's how small it is. Maybe half. But I would say a third the size of the state of North Carolina. Surrounded by a geographical area many, 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 many times larger. Multitudes of angry Arabs that hated you more than they hate anything else on the face of this earth. They hate them. They hate them. Why do they hate them? They hate them because God is with them. That's why they hate them. They hate them because they believe in this holy book. That's why they hate them. Why do they hate Christians? Because we believe in the Bible. That's number one reason we're hated by those people. We believe the God of the Bible. We love the God of the Bible. We have the promise of the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible has put a feeling of hatred. He's got a hook in their jaw. And at the moment of his design, he will lead them right into the land of death. I didn't say the land of Israel. I said the land of death. Because that's what it's going to be to them. The fear of God is going to come up in his face. For in my jealousy, in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Now listen, I want you to know, here's Israel. There's all these people up there. They've gathered now from Gomer and from Togarmah. They've come up there from Ethiopia and from Persia and from Libya. They've come from those nations over probably Iraq and the nations around that area. They've gathered and they, I would guess, 20 million soldiers. 20 million men, women in armament. I mean, you see, they have fought so many wars with Israel, and they have lost so utterly, embarrassed to the core by their losses, that they're planning a war in which they will plan and lead. It's called Gog and Magog, but they don't call it that. They're planning a war that will be the utter, let me get the right word here, the utter destruction of the Jewish people. I mean, they just want them out of there. They want them gone. They don't want them surviving in some enclave. They want them dead, dead, dead. And that's what they're planning. And that's what the Bible says. And it's going to be a shaking. And all of Israel is going to be shaken. Even the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals. Did you know when things like this develop anywhere in the world, animals will run for shelter sometimes even days before the ultimate moment of the attacks. And here he's telling us, all Israel is going to start shaking. I mean, it's going to be a dark looking moment. Here comes this army. They fix it across over the borders of Syria into the mountains of Israel. Their planes are ready to fly. Their rockets are ready to scream their presence across the borders into their cities. They've got enough armament to wipe probably America off the map, much less a little place like Israel. I mean, they really are planning for an all-out success. There must be an all-out success. Well, let's go to chapter 39, verse 2. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee. 20 million. What is one-sixth of 20 million? Of 18 million, it would be 3 million. That would be one-sixth. So we're talking about 3 million and then a sixth of 2 other million, which I can't calculate quite that fast, but I can tell you just a little over 3 million of those army people will live. You're talking about better than 17 million, and if there's more than that, which there well could be, then they'll all be dead upon that little area of the mountains of Jerusalem. And God says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw. I'm going to brain you. And he says, but a sixth part of you will survive and will cause thee to come up from the north part and will brain thee upon the mountains of Israel. I will smite the bow out of the left hand, and I will cause thine arrow to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy band, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open fields, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I'll tell you something, friend. This war that's coming is overwhelming. I know I've already used my time up and I'm fixing to bring it to a close, but I want you to understand something, friend. We are facing an hour. You can just know what the media and the news is going to be saying. You can understand what we are facing. I'm here to tell you it's going to be something breathtaking. I mean, I don't know what all is going to happen. I don't know everything's going to take place, but I know this is exactly how it's going to be, except we just see the little part of it. Just a little part of it. Now, let me take you over here where verse 5, thou shalt fall upon the open fields, for I've spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now, verse 6, and I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, listen to me. When this army marches into the mountains of Israel, God is going to defend Israel, and five out of every six soldiers is going to die. Their missiles are going to fall out of the sky. There's going to be, you can go on and read, and I don't have time to read it all. It's going to rain until they're going to be mired up in mud. It's going to be every kind of defense you could imagine. God's going to rain hailstones on them so big it knocks their planes out of the air. God, I mean, what God's going to do is going to be so breathtaking. If you've ever seen the hand of God, if you keep your eyes open when this happens, you're going to see it. Amen. I can see CNN showing these big hailstones, you know, the size of a 5-gallon water bucket or maybe bigger, striking those planes and those rockets in the air, knocking them out of the sky. And all of this is going to fall on the very people who are themselves soldiers fighting for Gog and Magog. It's going to be devastating. It's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. Amen. Are you listening to me? 7 months to bury the dead. Now, worse. And this I didn't know until a year or so ago in my study. I learned the fire that's going to fall is going to fall on the capital of Russia. The Kremlin will be literally eliminated. It's going to fall on the capitals of every one of these nations that march on Israel. Their major cities are going to be destroyed by fire. Their major populations are going to be destroyed by fire. I doubt there will be one Muslim house of worship left when God gets through, because he's going to show the world that the religion of Allah is nothing but a devil religion. And if anything, this war is going to be, it's going to be a judgment against the so-called religion of Allah. Amen. Does anybody understand what Brother Chambers is saying? Hallelujah. And we will be watching on news. I don't know. Maybe the rapture will already have taken place and we'll be out of here. That would be better. But sometimes I just kind of think I'd like to watch this thing happen on the news. It's going to be devastating. God's going to take care of it. It's going to be a triumph and a victory and on the picture goes. He says in chapter 39, verse 2, I will send fire on thee. I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. Go over to verse 21. I will set my glory among the heathens, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. Therefore, verse 25, therefore thus saith the Lord God, now I will bring against the captivity of, again, the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. Well, would you stand? You know, to live in this day is quite exciting. It really is. Here we are, people that we love the Word, we love the Bible, we love people, we love the Arabs, we love the Jews, we love the Russians, we love the Ukrainians, we love the Australians. I mean, we love them all. Thank God I'm preaching to all of them. I just looked on the internet here a month ago at one of the programs I'd done on the coming tribulation saints, and there had been 77 nations where people had tuned into our website and either listened or watched our radio program. 77 nations. One program. Now, I haven't checked most of them. I don't have time. But every one of them keeps a record, and I can go anytime I want to and count them up and look at how many nations. I want to tell you something. The world is soon going to have the word from God as they see it in the news that God has defended Israel and that God still loves Jerusalem. Did you know that? That God still loves Jerusalem and that the Jews are his people and God's people pray and believe it. I'm telling you, if you've ever lived a close life, you need to live it. Quit playing religion. Quit playing religion. How many of you are tired of playing religion and you're ready to give God everything you got? Everything you got, everything you are. Now, I hope I haven't preached too long tonight. I declare I tried to give you a kind of a full focused picture of what's developing. I'm excited. Anybody could tell I'm excited? Do I need to act some way to let you know I'm excited? I'm living in the day of Bible fulfillment, Brother Dylan. Brother Dylan, I'm living in the day of Bible fulfillment. Everywhere you look, you can see the Bible being fulfilled. Brother Jim, can you see it? Everywhere you look, the Bible's being fulfilled, Brother Johnson. Brother Lewis, we are on the verge. Right on the verge. Give your total self to God, church. Let's be the Lord's people. Let's get ready for his coming. Brother Morris, it's going to be great when that rapture takes place. Are you ready? You looking for the rapture? Hallelujah. If you're not, I want you to start tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, sweetheart. Oh, God's a good God. God's a good God. We are a blessed people. I want us to pray. I want us to talk to God a little bit here. Everybody that will come and pray, come to the altar. Let's gather down here and pray. Sing for us, Brother Jim.
God's got an army marching through the land.
Hallelujah.
Deliverance is her song with healing in their hand.
God's got
everlasting joy.
Hallelujah.
And gladness in their heart.
Praise the Lord. God's
and
got an army.
Army.
And he wants you part of it.
God's got an army.
Bless you. Hallelujah.
Marching through the land.
Hallelujah.
Deliverance is their song.
Hallelujah.
With healing in their hand.
Holy Shatray Martin,
he saw Carmen. And he saw Rehine Martin. And God, in that army,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For God's
hallelujah.
Got an army
hallelujah.
Marching through the land.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is their song.
Hallelujah.
With healing in their hands.
We raise your hands and pray now, will you? Everybody take time to pray. Draw yourself close to God. Oh God, I love you. Hallelujah. Holy
Casabra.
Hey, fill us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everlasting joy.
Hallelujah.
And gladness in their heart.
God's got
and
an army.
In that army I've got a part.
I've got a part, amen.
For God's got woo! An army.
Hallelujah.
Marching through the land.
Hallelujah.
Deliverance is their song. With healing in their hand.
Help deliver us.
Everlasting joy. And gladness in their heart. And in that army I've got a part.
Now listen, let me tell you something. God wants you to be a soul winner. If there's anything we've got to become, it's soul winners. Thank God we're beginning to see people getting saved in this church. Brother Tim here kind of started the time. Well, I guess Brother Kenny was saved. That was after Tim, wasn't it? That Kenny was saved. Is he still serving the Lord? Still serving the Lord. You know, others in the camp meeting. Now this morning, Brother Mike, hallelujah. I'm praying for him. You need to pray for him now. Been on drugs and alcohol 23 years, a backslider. He's going to need grace. He's going to need the prayers of the saints. I'm going to be after him immediately, being right there to bless him. But there's others. Got a family, kin to Brother Roy Sizemore. Said they're fixing to come to church. Bunches of them have been sick. They need a miracle in that home. I'm here to tell you, there's homes everywhere you look that need a miracle. Miracles, miracles. How many are praying for a Holy Ghost revival? Praise God. I'm just so hungry for it. I am so hungry for it. Brother Switzer will be here shortly for the Sunday weekend. That will be within 2-3 weeks at the most. a weekend revival. I plan to have revivals all year this year, one after the other. Some of them be short, some of them may be longer. Brother Switzer and I are talking about a full week one in the fall. Don't get nervous. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a Holy Ghost revival. I'm looking for a Holy Ghost revival. Father, we just pray together. Move this place, the Holy Ghost revival. Set us on fire. Give me somebody this week that'll plan a prayer meeting one night. That'll pray and seek God for a few hours. Father, everybody needing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come here and stay till God fills them with the Holy Ghost. My son Terry got the baptism about 12 o'clock one night. An all-night prayer meeting. Brother Marlin, you going to plan a prayer meeting this week? Hallelujah. Friday night sound good to you? Friday night prayer meeting. Let's plan that. We'll announce fully the terms Wednesday. Listen, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. How many of you will do your best to come to a prayer meeting Friday night? Let me see your hand. If you'll come, raise your hand. I want to see your hand. All right. I want to see. All right. I got more than enough already, brother. Brother, your martyr. Yeah. Hallelujah. God's good. God's good. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 The King's coming. The King's coming. Love Brother Morris. We might get this Baptist preacher, make a Pentecostal out of him. Maybe he's already a Pentecostal. A lot of black pastors are Pentecostals, aren't they? Hallelujah. We'll make one out of you, though. We love it. We love you, brothers, just like you are, though. God bless you. Shake hands, be friendly. Jesus is coming. Tell Brother Jim, thank him for coming tonight.